We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, a Tuesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We head up until 2 o'clock. The next 4 hours, we've got you. A lot of stuff to get into and talk about today. We will discuss the Kansas City Royals, and they continue to win, sitting just a half game out of first place because the danged Guardians continue to win, too. But a game and a half clear of third place in the Detroit Tigers. So we'll talk some Royals baseball today with another win for Seth Lugo, getting the decision and continuing to win and continuing to lower his ERA. And what an awesome signing so far it has been for the Royals this offseason. We know they made a number of moves, and that was one that was sort of under the radar. It was Michael Wacha and, you know, Will Smith, and look at the guys in the bullpen. Seth Lugo's a nice addition, too. And he's been dynamite, and he's doing it in a way that is a nice change from what we're seeing currently in pitching, where, you know, Michael Kopech comes in the game and is throwing 100, 101. Seth Lugo is just there, just moving the ball and pitching and getting soft contact and getting through games and 90 pitches through seven and just calling it a day.
And his motion is straight out of 1924.
This is great, man.
Surprising to the whole arm, you know, wind up too as he goes like back. Just the whole.
Yeah, that's right.
Satchel Paige, get the arm loose.
Get it really rolling. Just you know, getting that arm back, spinning, and then let's come forward with that. So yeah, we'll talk some Royals baseball. Les Norman will join us coming up at noon. Breaking the Norm, presented by TruckMovers.com and First Federal Bank of Kansas City. We'll hang out with Les Norman at noon, a couple of segments of the entire hour, actually. We'll talk some Royals with him. Salvi news, which is good news. We'll talk about that. The slide by Sterling Marte that we talked about with you, Sterling, and Jack, and then with Josh Kaiser yesterday, and Salvi's injury that came from that. So we'll do that coming up with Les Norman in the noon hour. Adam Teicher, 11 o'clock ESPN. We'll talk with him, get his thoughts on this Chiefs team. They are 9 days away from the NFL draft, not the NBA draft. That'd be odd if they were in the NBA draft. Might as well. We'll see. But the NBA does get underway tonight with the play-in game. We have it right here for you on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Golden State, Sacramento. That one, Lakers and Pelicans before that at 6:30, but Golden State Sacramento coming up at 9 o'clock. We got pregame at 8:30. She's on the mic with Bethany Bowman tonight before that game as well. But Adam Teicher, 11 o'clock, Les Norman at noon, and we'll hang out with Todd Lebo today and the maiden voyage. The first trip to Factor Fiction for Sterling Holmes. The first Factor Fiction that Sterling will be running as the commander, the captain of this ship, maiden voyage, Sterling Holmes. Are you ready to go, or will you, like Corey sometimes and Josh sometimes, be coming up with the questions as the show goes along?
Oh, I have him, baby.
Look at you.
Sterling's ready. Fact. It's a fact. That's a fact.
I'm going to say fiction.
Yeah. Will I?
I love it.
Will I forget to keep track of who's winning?
That's a fact. I keep track, too.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
Oh, I keep track, too, because Corey and Josh like to, pencil whip me in somehow losing, even though I'd be up like 3 or 4 points. So like, oh, it's a tie. Like, really?
Dylan, is that
really
true? Run back the tape. Run back the tape.
Is that true?
I feel like he's true.
There seems to be a lot of bonus points that fluctuate in their amounts at the end, depending on who's losing and by how much.
That's right. Jason's up by three, but the tie-breaking bonus question is worth four. Like, is it really? Okay, good to know.
Well, I was not going to do that until now, and now I know to basically screw Jason.
Oh, that's fine.
Sorry, Jason.
No, it's all good, man. It's part of the game. It's part of the game. But Todd Lebo will be hanging out with us in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll do that with Todd. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810. It's been an interesting year in college basketball, to the point that if we went back to April 15th, April 16th of 2023, I would not have guessed that a year later, I'd be starting a show going, hey, man, did you watch the WNBA draft last night? You know, check out the WNBA draft last night. That's how interesting, surprising. Also, you know, I found it to be, you know, entertaining and rewarding to a number of different extents with watching this college basketball season. And Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso and even Kate Martin, got to know her, you know, at Iowa. And she went 18th overall. And that was a cool scene when she showed up to support Caitlin and was hoping that her name would be called. And it was. And it was pretty cool. And it's interesting, like I asked, like, hey, did you watch the WNBA draft? Because I didn't. And the reason it wasn't by choice, though, little man had a baseball game last night, so I wasn't able to watch. So I get home catching up on the Royals game, because I know we would spend a lot more time on that today, and watching clips. But I know this, that if we did not have the baseball game last night, it would have been on one of the TVs. Like, I would have had the Royals game and the WNBA draft on the TVs and watching and you know, audio back and forth with that. It is something I would have watched. And in the past, I wouldn't have even been able to tell you when it was until the next day when there were stories about it. If this person went first, this person went second, she went third, she went fourth, whatever. But that's what the storylines of this year, over the past year, from the Final Four last year to, you know, Iowa beating South Carolina, losing to LSU, to this year, the whole buildup and Caitlin Clark breaking all the records and the conversation and discussion and debate and sometimes attacks on what Caitlin Clark brings to the game, and then making the run through the NCAA tournament, beating LSU, beating UConn, having the huge lead at the beginning against South Carolina, scoring 18 points in the first quarter, and then South Carolina just showing how dominant and good they are and winning that game, to then there's an interest level of me watching last night to where I didn't watch it live, but I'm reading about it and seeing some of the stories when I got home and trying to catch up on some of the things. That's one of the things that I think Twitter/X is good for, is you can see clips and things like that. I don't need all the cesspool of it, but I can go to Twitter and I can see people that are covering the draft and see the things that have taken place, some of the storylines that have happened with that, while catching up, starting from the beginning of the Royals game when I got home and catching up with that, you know, which, not crazy spoilers. I wouldn't do that with the, I wouldn't be on Twitter during a Chiefs game catching up, because there's one of 17. Where the Royals, there's 162.
Yeah.
So I'll catch up while also trying to check out some things that were going on in the WNBA draft. So that is an amazing change for me that I did not expect to have happen a year ago, but I would have liked to watch it live if we didn't have anything going on. I would have liked to watch it live. And it'd be the same thing with the NBA draft, too. Like,
sure,
if he's got a basketball game or a baseball game the night of the NBA draft, I'll get home and I'll catch up on Twitter. I won't go back and watch it all live from the beginning. I'll catch up the same way that I did with the WNBA draft. So I didn't approach it last night any different than I would, you know, the NBA draft, you know, if something was going on.
Yeah, I think that's a very very fair point, because I'm the same way. I worked in the NBA. I worked for the 76ers. I'm still a 76ers fan. By the way, I gathered that you had a very nice humble brag there. Dylan, I don't know if you noticed, you said TVs plural. Jason said plural on one of the TVs.
It's 2024. I don't think that's a big deal anymore.
Wow, just he's out here humble bragging.
You can have a couple 32-inch TVs.
In my garage.
Yeah, you know, the garage
that are
TV.
Collecting dust at this point. And
thank you.
Yeah, and I'm 29, so
I'm the
not
same
a humble
way,
brag.
Dylan.
Yeah, see?
Well, I got
see?
The TV, and then you have the iPad and the laptop. I don't have the TVs plural, because I can't hang them.
Here's the thing. Before
it messes with the aesthetic. Yeah,
so before, it's an interesting point, but before moving back, like, you know, the iPad and
and all that stuff wasn't as prevalent, so I had the TVs that were hung in the different ways of watching. Now, I just, you know, carry the TVs over. I mean, I have them, might as well use
strong,
them.
Strong, too. Look at that humble brag. Jason can carry TVs.
And I even carry that little fire stick. I can I can carry my little stick all over the place, from Louisville to KC to Wyoming to wherever I end up going. But, you know, plug that little thing in the hole and then watch that TV, and I've got multiple up there, and I've got my iPad, too, and my phone. I got all the different things in the technology. It's crazy what 2024 has offered, and especially with Google Fiber, there is no buffering along the way, and I don't have a satellite anymore, so if it were be raining like it is right now, I could still be able to watch the things as opposed to our TV, that there is a cloud in the sky, so the satellite is now out.
Yeah.
But yes, that is totally a humble brag. Anybody in today's day and age knows how expensive every single TV is. You can't find any Black Friday deals, and there are no just crappy TVs to use as your second or third one.
The issue is I have one of those in the garage collecting dust because it's so old. It's an old Sony. Doesn't even have the ability to stream anything.
Yes.
Neither here nor there. Going back to the WNBA.
As the texter says, speak loudly and carry a small stick. It's the old adage. That's what everybody always said growing up.
I think the French president said that one.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
the French said that one.
Go ahead, though.
I actually was keeping up with this. I was actually watching the Royals game on my office TV with my laptop.
Oh, how about that? How about still? I've got an office in my house. How about that humble brag? I don't have an office. I've got multiple TVs. I don't have an office in my house. I've got rooms.
He was laying the runway to humble brag.
I don't have any
out.
Kids. Jason, I have no kids.
He wanted to call me out so that he could slide in that humble brag.
It's the B-Rabbit. You get out ahead of it.
And Sterling's parents have a real good marriage. You went to Cranbrook, didn't you?
They do. My parents
You went to Cranbrook. That's a private school.
My Blue Line North, which is pretty close. My parents do have a really good
close.
Really good marriage. Yeah, they do. I'm lucky in that regard.
Is Sterling's real name Clarence? Is that Clarence over there?
I mean, Sterling's pretty Clarence.
That's
I mean,
a great point.
Sterling Holmes sounds like I'm a British. If it was the second, I'm at least an Earl. Like, I'm at least an Earl.
That's right. You're moving up to Duke?
Yeah, I'm moving up to Duke, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. You were in your office last night.
But this is what I was watching the Royals game, and I was following the WNBA draft the same way I do the NBA draft to an extent, which I don't always watch the NBA draft. Again, I'm a big NBA guy. I love the NBA. Love the 76ers. Like, I follow fairly close. But I don't sit there and watch every single pick because it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I don't care about what the New York Knicks are going to do. Sorry, they're going to pick someone bad. I know how they operate.
I don't know. They took Jalen Brunson. That's worked out pretty well
they
for
them. They traded for Jalen Brunson.
That's a good point.
Yes, they draft him.
That's right. The Mavericks did.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right about that.
And so
you were right about that.
I follow it fairly similar. I'm on Twitter. I check the analysis and I go through each pick. I'm saying, well, how do they fit on each team? Now, maybe with the NBA, I do it a little more closely, and because I have a team that I actually care about, the 76ers, I'll go a little more in depth specifically. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm looking on how these players fit with each team. Like I saw Cardoso fits with the team because they needed some rebounding, and they go
Angel Reese and Cardoso.
I'm like, oh well, that they fixed their needs, and I can guarantee you, in the past, I don't know if I've ever said that a WNBA team, I knew the roster, how they were constructed, and how they fixed their team.
Yeah,
like I do think that's great for women's sports, that you were actually starting to get more in depth analysis, not just Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark got the eyes, I think, more so on the sport, but now you're getting more in depth and seeing how do these players fit, which again. Similar to how you do with the NBA, which is a great step, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed some of the little stats that went along with last night, like Darren Rovell in 1 hour. Fanatics has sold out of Caitlin Clark's Fever jersey in extra small, medium, large, XL, and double XL. In the first hour, those were all sold out. I thought it was also cool that, you know, in Indiana, the arena, they had 10,000 fans that were there to watch the draft, including her Fever future teammates.
That's cool.
And when they drafted Caitlin Clark, they all put on Caitlin Clark jerseys, you know, and ran around and jumped up and down. That was pretty cool. So showing, like, yeah, there's no jealousy of like, oh, Caitlin Clark's going to come in here and show us how it's done. No, they're pumped because they know they're getting a stud and they're about to, you know, start winning. They had the number one pick for a reason, and now they're getting Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. I wonder how that was going to go down now that she is going to be a rookie joining a team.
And be the star of that team as the rookie.
Well, I think you can make the comparison to an extent, a little different, but in the NBA with Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. Now, I didn't see Spurs players throwing on Victor jerseys by any means.
That's right.
But there was a situation where they're all like, no, he's the face of the franchise.
Yeah. But I think
he's the guy.
It's to a degree, though, in the NFL, we do that with the quarterbacks. So if you draft a quarterback number one, like the story of the Houston Texans was C.J. Stroud. The story of the Panthers, good or bad, mainly bad, was Bryce Young. Story of whoever drafts Caleb Williams, Bears, will be Caleb Williams this year. Like, he'll become the star that people watch and pay attention to immediately when he gets there. While there are established vets and there are guys that are, you know, already better at their job in the NFL than he will be at his when he gets there. He's the star. He'll be the one that people are talking about. And so there is to that degree, and there's only five players on the court for each particular team. It just depends on who that number one pick is. Zion going to the Pelicans, boom, immediately, Zion's the star. Even though he hasn't lived up to what people thought he could be, but Zion's the immediate star. Great point with Wembanyama of him going to the Spurs and it being about Wembanyama and what he can do for that organization moving forward.
Yeah, and maybe it's a little different in the WNBA than the NBA. Again, Victor is clear-cut the best rookie. I don't know if you saw him as the season went on. They missed the playoffs. They still only won 22 games. Yeah. The rest of the Spurs roster is just it's a travesty. It's horrendous. But, I mean, if you're watching the Spurs at all, you can see just the difference of a guy. He put up 17 points in 3 minutes in a game later on in the season, and if you watch it, you're like, holy bleep, this is not human. This guy's 7'5". He's an alien.
There's so few of us that can do that out there.
Us. Yeah. You're part of that guy.
Thank you.
I mean, he's pulling up from Steph range at 7'5". It's just...
I liked this one. Like, people were talking about Caitlin Clark's salary, right? Like, how much she's going to make over the course of her four-year career. It's going to be like $300,000 that she'll make in the 4 years salary. She'll make a lot of money in endorsements, okay? So that's where it's like, well, I mean, she's taking a pay cut. No, she's not, because she's adding that $80,000 salary to what the NIL and endorsements that are national endorsements that were going to be there if she stayed at Iowa anyway, only she wasn't getting the $76,000 salary. Well, you know, what about the NIL? And yes, I know, the NIL, State Farm, she's well taken care of. So, but now she gets to be in the WNBA, and guess what? She didn't have to go to class. You know, it's like college, it's like, why would somebody want to go pro for because then they don't have to go to, you don't have to keep a grade point average. You don't have to do that. Some people would love to just go to school extra, like choose extra school. Some people are there, and the school is to make sure that they can still play.
Cardale Jones,
that's fine. He didn't go to Iowa State to play school. You know, he went to Iowa State to play football, or Ohio State to play football. But this funny one, Caitlin Clark's first year WNBA salary is $76,500. Rudy Gobert is fine for doing the money sign at the ref, $100,000. I thought that was a kind of a funny one. Can we play this clip, too? This last night, it was before the draft started. They were doing the preview on ESPN and talking about the things that Caitlin Clark does and what will make her special. And we hear it on TV, but, you know, sometimes you don't know, is everybody hearing this? Like, at the end of Royals games, when Joel starts talking, you can hear then it's going over the PA. Like, you know that he's talking. We hear it on the TV, but also the fans are hearing that. So what are the people in the arena, what are the people in the building hearing while we're hearing the breakdown and the commentary? Well, that was going on last night where all of these prospects are sitting there waiting to be drafted, and the commentary there is also being fed over the PA. So what we're hearing is also what is being heard in the room with all these players.
She has the vision to find her teammates, defending her. You are in constant contradiction with yourself when you're guarding Caitlin Clark. She also has to sit there like she can't hear us talking about her, which is handling wonderfully. Caitlin, proud of you on all fronts, but proud of you for handling this. Truly, though, she's really special, and it's so tough to guard her. It's also so fascinating to watch her.
The visual of that was great because she's sitting there with the camera right on her. They're talking about it. And so she's sort of uncomfortable. She's like, you know, fixing her jacket. She's sort of looking away, sort of just. And then she hears that and she just starts laughing, you know, and she's got to sit there acting like we aren't, like she can't hear us talking about her right now.
Yeah.
And then she starts laughing like, oh, she can hear him talking. Like, you hear like the little echo in the background. It's like, oh, wait, they are actually playing that.
She actually just thought of a funny joke. She was sitting there.
She was thinking back to her SNL cameo on the Weekend Update.
Yeah,
with Michael Che. That's what she was thinking. God, I killed that. I really delivered that well. Maybe not, but people got a good laugh out of it. That was great.
It was the early Mahomes delivery, right?
Yes.
Mahomes really has grown.
He's gotten
better. First time you saw Mahomes acting, you go, whoa.
Yeah. Is Caitlin Clark in the Time 100 most influential people this year? Because she should be. Like, I actually don't know. Like, Patrick Mahomes is for the third time in his life. He was in the Time 100 Most Influential People that came out this morning. the 2024 edition. He's one of the 100 most influential people in the world. He was in it in 2020, and then he was in it last year, and now this year. So it's back to back. So now he's a mainstay, I guess. There in the Time 100. But I would say that she is as influential in sports as anybody has been over the last year. If we're talking about most, the 100 most influential people, if we're having a sports category, you know, is she more influential? Like, this year, I think you can make a pretty good argument that she was more influential in sports than Patrick Mahomes was this year.
If you're talking about growing the game,
yeah,
then yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
If you're talking about just growing the game, yeah, I mean, she was. But as far as...
2 years ago, there were 4 million people watching the national championship game for the women. Last year, there was 9 million. This year, there were 19 million. That's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes has done great things for the Chiefs, and the NFL has been awesome, but he's one of many... players in the NFL that play and can make an impact. I love that he's one of the most 100 most influential people. That's awesome because he's here in Kansas City. That's great. But and I don't know, maybe Caitlin Clark is a part of it. I haven't seen it. I've only seen that Patrick Mahomes is a part of it. But I would have, I think Twitter would have had, you know, those pictures if she was on it as well. But I just thought about that as, you know, we were going to bring up the fact that Mahomes is on. Mahomes is, for the first time, one of the cover athletes.
Sure.
One of the cover people. I also don't know how many cover, you know, people they have for the 100 most influential people. But he wasn't in 20 and he wasn't in 23. He is now.
It is crazy that the most influential player in the most popular game in America, probably second most popular game in the world. Again, if we're saying soccer is one world, football might be two.
Yeah.
And he plays in Kansas City.
It's amazing.
Like if you look around the NBA or the NFL right now, just pull a random fan. Who's the one guy people are going to point to? It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Yeah. How wild. Like me growing up cannot fathom the fact that the most influential player in the entire NFL plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here's what's awesome, also amazing of the last year, is if you had somebody say, you know, a random fan, Patrick Mahomes, the second choice might be Travis Kelce because of Taylor Swift. Like that over the last
crazy,
year.
Yeah.
Like the second, first and second most popular or name a football player.
Yeah.
That might be first. Because of some fans,
yeah, like, you're right.
Agreed,
yeah.
Yeah.
To football.
Right, like if you were on Family Feud, name a professional football player. Travis Kelce. Survey says Travis Kelce, number two or number one, whatever it might be. Like those might be the top two. If it's name a current professional, Tom Brady. No, that is incorrect. Not current. He's not current anymore. Aaron Rodgers, maybe, but he was gone all last year. Right? I mean, he's been gone upstairs for a while, but he was gone last year from the actual game and not playing. So it is fascinating that choice one and two might be people that live right down the street.
Yeah.
In the most popular. And
oh, they live down the street from you now, too? Oh, Jason, wow.
I meant like as a collective
group
here in Kansas
City. Wow, they live down
the
street from Jason with his multiple TVs.
They do not live down the street
from
me. That
he can carry because he's very strong.
I can promise you this. There is a street that I could go down to get to Lock Lloyd. It just ain't near where I live. So, all right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Let's talk some Royals. They sit at 11-6 now. Brady Singer and his sub-1 ERA going to the mound tonight against yet another pitcher making his Major League Baseball debut against the Royals, this time for the White Sox, Jonathan Cannon, their 8th best prospect in their minor league system, making his MLB debut tonight. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk some Royals baseball. We got Adam Teichert at 11 o'clock, Les Norman at noon, Todd Lebo 1 o'clock. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Adam Teichert joins us coming up at 11 o'clock. Les Norman at noon. Todd Lebo in the 1 o'clock hour. Good news on Salvi. One of the things we'll talk with Les Norman about. The MRI on Salvi, Matt Quatrero said, came back the best possible result they could hope for. It is a low-grade strain. and he will not go on the IL. He will stay with the big league club. Logan Porter as the taxi squad, just in case they need somebody to play. Salvi will not be on the IL and could be back soon. Maybe tomorrow. Coming up on Thursday. Maybe tonight.
I don't know if you saw what Salvi posted on Twitter last night.
Was it about the WNBA? If not, then I probably didn't see it.
No. Okay. Someone posted and tweeted at him, said, "I'm coming all the way from Puerto Rico to see the Royals in Chicago, and now Salvador Perez is injured? Why? What did I do to deserve this?" And then Salvador Perez replies, "I'm back tomorrow, okay?"
Oh, wow. Okay, there
you
go.
That's what Salvi said 19 hours ago, so that would be today. Take that as you will. I don't know if Salvador Perez actually has the final say in this. Sure looks like the correct account, considering Salvador Perez has 552,000 followers.
That would
on.
Be an odd parody
odd,
account.
Odd parody account, who just puts the muscle sign and fire sign, and who responds to Eric Hosmer on it. But yes, according to Salvador Perez, the source himself says, "I'm back tomorrow, okay," and that was yesterday. So,
well, I mean, maybe it's time. If Velasquez gets a day off, wouldn't be anything wrong with that. He's 4 for his last 17. You know, and he's and you know, no extra base hits in that time. He's going the other way, which is nice, and it's one of the things I was going to talk to Les Norman about is, you know, he's fallen below 300, which is fine because he's Nelson Velasquez. Batting 296 ain't the worst thing in the world for him. But the concern I would have, and we'll ask Les about this, is how sustainable it is for Nelson Velasquez that, you know, he's gone now since April 9th, so that's 7 games without an extra base hit for Nelson Velasquez, but he's also swinging and missing 43% of the time, which is 11% higher than last year. Yeah. So while he's batting 300, he's been pretty boom or bust. It's all or nothing. He's putting the ball in play and getting hits, or he's just swinging and missing at it. He's in the 2 percentile of whiff percentage in Major League Baseball right now. So he probably could use a day off. He probably, you know, Salvi, go ahead and play DH. You know, if Salvi's returning today, as he said on Twitter last night, and ready to go and only missed one game, then maybe you fill in for, you know, Nelson Velasquez and go out there and give him a break, yeah. You know, for a day or whatever. He does have a couple of walks in that time, but he's also got, you know, 10 Ks over that time. But it's nice to see him going the other way. So he's not just Deadpool, but he's also swinging and missing at a lot of pitches right now, which I think if that keeps up, then what he's been doing at the plate can't keep up.
Yeah.
It would be my guess. Maybe sure. I'm wrong. I'll ask Les about that, and maybe he'd be like, "Nah, look at some of these other guys." I mean, you know, I shouldn't mention it, Joey Gallo, because at one time Joey Gallo was hitting tanks, right, and 35 home runs or whatever. Well, he's batting 200, Max Muncy 200, but he's going to get your 40 bombs, right? But he's going to swing and miss at a lot of things, right?
Get on base at a 380 clip whilst yeah. playing Gold Glove. Joey Gallo right. was a Gold Glover. He was phenomenal in the
right.
field.
So, I mean, it's not exactly that way, but we'll ask Les Norman about that.
And this is why I said yesterday, you asked if I thought the Royals offense was sustainable or this volatile. And I said, yeah. And I go, yes, this is who they are. There's only about three guys who I think on a weekly basis, because it's baseball, there's always going to be ups and downs, ebbs and flows, but Bobby Witt, Vinny, and Salvi are the three guys who I go consistently week in, week out, you're going to count on those guys. Mikel, for the most part, I think you want to count on. Again, mm-hmm. not necessarily as a, he's been struggling mightily.
Yeah.
Nelson, I think the approach is better, but again, you're mentioning the strikeout rate, which I think is always going to be a fairly decent strikeout rate for him. You know, MJ is going to be prone to ups and downs, although, again, he's had a really nice start to his season. He's starting to come back to earth a little bit as well. Again, when you break it down, I think there's three guys you count on with a lot of upside in other guys. I think Mikel, mm-hmm. again, has upside. Vinny has, Nelson has upside. MJ has a ton of upside. I don't know where I land yet on Nick Lofton. Still kind of trying to figure that out. Hunter Renfro yeah. has a lot of variance in his game. It's who this team is. They're going to be a team that's prone to going in these slumps of scoring 0, 1, and 2, and also prone to breaking out 8, 9, 10. Again, this is nothing crazy that I'm saying right now. I think a lot of teams can make the same case. I just think the Royals will be more volatile offensively than the majority of Major League Baseball. What behooves them is the fact that their starting pitching
yes.
is so good that they're taking advantage of a team like the White Sox, right? you might not beat the Dodgers 2-0, mm-hmm. but you'll beat the White Sox. They're taking advantage of the matchups. Seth Lugo, again, the metrics aren't super kind to him this year.
He's just not striking a bunch of guys out.
But end of the day, when you're getting this week of contact consistently,
exactly.
I don't know if it's consistent over a multi-season. I think Brad Keller might be a decent comp. When Brad Keller had that 1 year where he's getting weak contact, yeah. everyone goes, well, how is this sustainable? Yes. Well, you can do it for a year or two.
I don't think Seth Lugo is a one ERA guy, so that's going to change, certainly. But I think he's closer to a guy that can go out and get you a quality start yeah. more often than not. Than he is a guy that's just going to start getting shelled like a Brad Keller, that it seemed to be all
Agreed.
Smoke and mirrors. And looking at quality starts, I think what was the stat last night? I should have wrote it down. It was something like since July or August, he's one of the top five in quality starts, yeah. Seth Lugo. So this is simply what he's been doing. This is who he is. And it's one of the more underrated signings, 25 2/3 innings, and he's given up 3 earned runs this year.
And it's really great for him. I know we can look at the age and say, you know, with the age, is he going to start regressing? But he also didn't really become a starting pitcher until later on in his career.
Yeah.
He was a reliever the majority of his career. I've been very impressed with Seth. And again, he's not going to be a great strikeout pitcher, but I do think the weak contact can continue based on the amount of movement he gets on his pitches. Sinker, obviously very solid, but it's the curveball that really stands out. You saw it dancing last night. I do think the ball in general was dancing last night for a lot of pitchers. If you watch Leisure last night, he threw a changeup in on the hands on Bobby, and I go, man, that thing is moving. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of movement on the ball last night.
Yeah.
Obviously, the ball was not carrying out very well. I thought even Nicky Lopez almost got one.
Yeah, he did.
Off of
he did too. MacArthur.
Was that MacArthur? In
yeah.
The, yeah, and just died. Bobby Witt Jr. came 5 feet from a grand slam. Even the pitcher who threw it, I believe that may have been, I don't know if that was Dominic Leone or Nastrini, the starter. But I was laughing because the pitcher put his head down. And
yeah.
It was just like, oh, man, that's gone.
I'm going to go from giving up 2 earned runs to 6.
And it just died right on the warning track. The ball just was not carrying, which
yeah.
makes Vinny's bomb even more
yeah.
impressed. The fact that that thing was just, that was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Polo Grounds would have had trouble keeping that one in.
Curtis Seibold's tweet last night, the White Sox are now the 15th team ever to lose 14 of their first 16 games, and the first since the 2010 Orioles. So it's been 14 years since a team has started this bad as the White Sox, and half their games they've scored one or fewer runs.
Man.
In those 16 games. The 2024 White Sox, 2-14. 2010 Baltimore Orioles, 2-14. 2003 Detroit Tigers 1-15. By the way, just skipped over all of those Royals teams
yeah.
that we would have totally guessed would have been on this list. 1997 Chicago Cubs 2-14. 1992 Royals 1-15.
Huh.
And then the worst start to in Major League Baseball history, the 88 Baltimore Orioles 0-16. That wasn't the last of their O.
Yeah.
They had a few more. But yeah, this White Sox team, and the Royals still have two more against them. So go and get these two games against the White Sox before it gets really daunting, because their next 19 games after they play the White Sox, these next two are against Baltimore, Toronto, Detroit, and Texas. And Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Throw Milwaukee in there as well. Those are teams leading their division. And there's two series in there against Toronto. So they've got Baltimore, two against Toronto, Texas, Detroit, Milwaukee. The next 19 games are going to be really tough. I think Josh Kaiser called it the first part of the season when we said stay afloat was sort of the appetizer.
Yeah.
This next stretch, when we talk about the early portion of their schedule being a gauntlet, this is now the entree starting Friday. Is the entree of the, hey, just stay afloat for this team. So, we'll see. Because they got the day off Thursday. Take a deep breath. It's go time. 7-game homestand against the Orioles and Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, the scheduling, how it was Orioles and then Orioles yet again, and then Toronto, a little break, and then Toronto yet again. Again, a lot of good teams early on. Luckily, they do have the White Sox kind of sprinkled in.
Give you a reprieve, and that's yeah. why these next two games are crucial.
It's the aperitif. Yeah. The White Sox sure are. And I actually feel bad for White Sox fans because Dude, that roster is atrocious.
I'll never feel bad for White Sox fans after what happened with the Royals and
fair.
First base coach. I'll remember. People will text in and let me know. But anyway, go ahead.
They might win 50 games. I mean, look at the roster. They have Luis Robert, who is perpetually injured. They're only a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
Eloy Jimenez, their best hitter consistently. He's perpetually injured. He's finally back. Andrew Vaughn has never lived up to the hype.
No, he hasn't.
And who else? Martin Maldonado? He's getting a massive amount of starts in 2024. Robbie Grossman is your leadoff hitter?
Yeah.
Nicky Lopez is your everyday guy.
The remains of Benintendi is your number two hitter last night. Gamboa. Larry Gamboa. Thank you, texters.
That team is a train wreck. Which, again, the Royals, if you want to take it glass half full, they're beating up on them. That's outstanding. They're doing their job. But also, they're getting a lot of games out of the way now against the White Sox. You got to think about when the Guardians and when Detroit plays them. This White Sox team isn't getting any better. They're going to be
Tom Gamboa.
A 50-win team.
We'll get it right eventually. Tom Gamboa. And the father-son duo that went out and beat up the Royals first base coach. There in Chicago. Texas says White Sox are still averaging more fans than the Royals. That's crazy because I thought people didn't want to lose the K. Where are all the voters that keep the K? You can't take the K down. Don't tear the K down. You got to keep the K. Keep the K, damn it. Why would we go downtown? It's so difficult to get downtown. The K, it's easy in and it's easy out. Come on, don't take the K from me. I got memories there. Now, I'm not going to go. But I'm definitely not going downtown. I'm also not going to go to the K. I just don't want you to take the K away. On the off chance, I may get a spring in my step and go check out the K for the first time in 10 years. But you're damn right I'm going to the polls to vote no, because I don't want the K going anywhere. Keep the K shirts that I'm going to wear while I'm at home watching the Royals. Anyway, go ahead. You were saying, Sterling?
I was going to actually ask you. I was going to say, for that caller, you know, how many games have you been to the past 5 years? But I guess the answer was zero. Yeah.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Come back. Continue rolling. More Zone next. A lot of texters upset about me making fun of the people that voted to keep the K but don't actually go to the games. Hey, man, I go to the games. Well, then I wasn't talking about you.
Have some empathy, Jason.
That's kind of the hit dog hollers, right? I mean, right? If your immediate reaction was, hey, wasn't talking about you. But that's fine. If you voted to keep the K, but you don't actually go to the games, you're who I will always make fun of. I will continue to make fun of you. Well, yeah, but I want the opportunity to go to the K. Then go. If you voted to keep the K and you've got season tickets, you go there? Not talking about you. But those people that voted and don't show up, they know who they are.